to be able to be here with you guys and have the privilege of teaching the Bible and being loved by everybody. It was a great birthday. I trust you had a good night last night and did whatever you needed to do today, whether it was going to work, taking a boat around Manhattan, whatever you needed to do, that you did it. So last night we covered the prayer life of Jesus Christ and the life of a leader. We also covered how a leader or a strong believer, you know, in the life of Jesus Christ, how he handled the Word of God and how it's important to us as people who want to be strong in God's Word to know God's Word. How's the sound here? Is it a little echoey? Is it okay, the sound? Fine? Okay, great. All right, take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Matthew 22. We're dealing with leadership principles of Jesus Christ, but this is very relevant to us because we can sure see how he did it, and we can apply some of these things in our life for sure, whether we're leaders or not. Tonight, we're going to get into the operation of the manifestations of the Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 29, Matthew 22 and in verse 29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor what?
The power of God.
The scriptures, nor the power of God. Jesus Christ's ministry, there's chairs over here. You can, all right. Jesus Christ's ministry was twofold. It was word and it was works. Word and works. Word and works. So tonight we're going to see how Jesus Christ operated the power of God. They erred because they didn't know the scriptures nor the power of God. And quite honestly, people make the same mistakes today. People do not know the scriptures or they don't know the power of God at times. And if we try to operate or know the scripture without power, we have a fellowship that may know some of the Bible. On the other hand, there's no power of God, no power manifested. If we try to operate the power of God without the scriptures, we're probably operating the power of the adversary, because you need to know the difference. And the genuine and the counterfeit are very close. So there's a good chance of that. So, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. In this our day and time, we as believers, we have power. We're going to see that also. Not only do we have power, but also when we get sick, we can get healed, right? Other believers have abilities. We could go to them to get prayed for, ministered to, this kind of thing, and they can operate the power of God so that by their operation of the power of God, people in this, our day and time, get deliverance. So this is a very, very important topic. Jesus Christ was a ministry, had a ministry of word and works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at this for example here. 1 Corinthians 12. Sure, I'm blessed to see everybody here tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Okay, put your hand on your Bible. Don't look down. Okay, who can name the nine manifestations of the Spirit? Okay, Anita, go on. Out loud, please. Not to yourself.
Tongue,
go ahead.
One.
Okay.
Speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, believing, or faith, miracles,
da 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 da. Word of knowledge, discerning, word of wisdom. Okay, word of wisdom. Okay. Yes. Did she say word of wisdom?
No.
Gifts of healing. Okay, thank you. Alright, alright. Got 8 out of 9. Okay. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. That's what it says in these verses right here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to given to every man to profit withal. For to one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All those are to another prophet. So, every person, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Every person has the ability to operate all nine manifestations. Now, some of you have seen our dog in the house. Let me tell you the truth. Our dog loves Bob. The dog, whenever she sees Bob, she either whimpers or pisses right on the floor immediately. One or the other. Or sometimes both, which is a real mess. Okay, now, but she loves Bob a lot. Now, if you've seen our dog, the dog has very, very long, pointy teeth. Now, why do dogs have long, pointy teeth besides biting the behind of mailmen? What else? They have long, pointy teeth for what? To eat. They're, all right, now, these cows or hippos or other types of animals, some of them, when they eat grass, do they have pointy teeth?
No.
What kind of teeth do they have?
Flat
green teeth, probably. They're flat. Why? Because they grind up all that stuff. Because so you can tell what the nature of the animal is by what kind of teeth they have, correct? Is he somebody that comes up and grabs some meat? Or is it just some kind of flat-toothed beast that eats vegetables, correct? Now, so by looking at the nature of the animal, quote end of quote, we could kind of tell what its function is, correct? Now, our spiritual nature, quote end of quote, has the ability to operate nine manifestations. God has given us the ability to do these things. Who set it up that way? God. Whose plan was it? God's. Who wants us to do this? God. He gave us the ability to speak in tongues. So whose idea was it?
God.
He gave us the ability to interpret. So whose idea was it?
God.
Prophecy. He gave us the ability to receive revelation. So whose idea was it?
God.
He gave us the ability to cast out devil spirits. So whose idea was it?
God.
He gave us the ability to heal people. So then, if that's really true, then why don't we really find out our true identity in life, and then we will know then how to operate these things or get a better idea. God wants us to operate power. He wants us to operate power. Did Christ operate power? And where is Christ now? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christian. So as it's God and Christ in us, He operated power, and that's who's inside of us, and God wants us to operate power and to get blessed by the power of God that others operate. You heard people speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy tonight, right? Okay, then also we could do the other ones too. This is important, and some of us have kind of fallen asleep in this area, and we need to be sharp, because basically, you know, it's very just nice and easy to go along without the power of God in our life. But the church misses out, and so do we. So, with that brief introduction, look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. We're going to look and see how Jesus Christ operated manifestations. Remember, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Did Jesus Christ get revelation?
Yes.
Can we?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ cast out devil spirits?
Yes.
Can we?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ heal people?
Yes.
Can we?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's the end of the teaching. Okay, now, look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. This is fun. Mark 1. Now we're going to see what happened. How many of you had a busy day today? Anybody have a busy day? Yeah, good. Now, I'm going to show you a busy day. This is a busy day, one day here. Okay, now, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and what? And they were astonished at his personality because he was way cool. No, at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So he taught the word. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean what? And he cried out, watch your pronouns here, saying, let us what? Alone. What have what? We to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, who's talking there? A spirit is talking. There was a guy with an unclean spirit, and this spirit used the plural. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Maybe it sounded just like the guy's voice. Or maybe it sounded like this.
Or maybe it sounded like this. Who knows the kind of personality that was in there?
Okay. Verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and what?
Come out of him.
Hopefully he wasn't talking to the man, because the man would have to come out of the man. Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried out with a loud voice, he came out. Jesus Christ cast the devil spirit out of the man. He brought deliverance to the man. And they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits? And they what?
Amen.
So, is there a devil in the world?
Yes.
How do we know? It's right in the Bible here, isn't there? This is a devil spirit. Here, verse 28. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. Verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue the same day, so he taught, cast out the devil spirit, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So now they're gone over there to old Simon's mom's house. This is Peter's mom's house. They're going to have a little lasagna over there, maybe. I don't think so, but you understand. Verse 30, and Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Simon's wife's mother. Simon's wife's mother must be who? Simon's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. They go over there, and you know what? They told Jesus Christ of her. And he came, and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she what? She got delivered, and what was the first thing she did, according to this record, when she got delivered? She served, she gave, she was blessed, she was delivered, so she wanted to get in the fight. What a great thing. I don't know what she did to minister to him. Maybe she got him some food. Maybe, I don't know. Doesn't say. She got delivered, and look what happened. So Jesus Christ taught the word, cast out a devil spirit, then went over to Simon's mom's house, you know, and she got delivered and then ministered to her. Verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases. That's when you scuba dive. No. Sick of divers diseases and cast out many what?
Devils.
And suffered not the devils to speak because they what? Now that's a good day, isn't it? Taught God's word, cast out a devil spirit, healed Simon's wife's mother. And then what happened? People brought all these sick people and people that were possessed, and he healed them all. Verse 35. Who'd like to read a verse? Anybody? Okay. Lazarus, why don't you read a verse?
Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed.
So that was the next day. Like Bob taught yesterday, he got up and he prayed. He had a lot of things to do, and he started the day with prayer. What a great day of deliverance that was. That was a nice day. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It was hot out, right? John chapter. What'd you guys drink today? Did you have a soda?
Water.
Have some water? How many beers did you have? No, just kidding. Okay, now look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And here Jesus is traveling. God bless. All right. You know in the Bible what it means when somebody sneezes? It's a sign they're alive. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 4. And he must needs, Jesus Christ, go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being what?
Wearied.
In the Old Testament, it says God is not wearied. But here it says Jesus was wearied with his journey. And he sat at the well and was about the sixth hour. So Jesus was a man. Have we ever been tired walking?
No.
Sure, tired walking. So here he is. And he's close. He's next to the well. Verse 7. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to what?
Drink.
Very, you know, cultural situation here. He had the right to ask the water, to ask the woman for a drink. He was hot. He was tired. He was thirsty. So he asked for a drink. He wasn't going witnessing. He wasn't out witnessing on a witnessing program, outreach weekend. But, you know, he was out. He was out walking, traveling. And he asked this lady for a drink. Verse 8. And his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asked drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Had Jesus met this lady before? Do we know that? No, not at all. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you know the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given unto thee what?
Living water.
Okay, so he's kind of throwing out that statement there, and we'll see her reaction. And the woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw. Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Verse 16, Jesus saith to her, go and call thy husband and come hither. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no what? Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had what?
Five
husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in thou sayest what? How did he know? How did he know that this lady had five husbands before and didn't have a husband now? How did he know? Revelation. God told him about this lady that he never met, and he said this thing to her that just got her attention and blew her mind. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it has, where you're talking to somebody and you just know something about that person, and there's a prophet in that, and man, you say it, and you say to that person, man, you know, are you praying over there? Or you say something along those lines, and that guy goes, wow, how did you know that? Well, Jesus Christ said it to that person. Just happened to Rosie not too long ago. You could talk to her at the break. And you know what? God can do that when there's a prophet. When there's a prophet. So, hey, you've had five husbands, and the guy you got now, he isn't your husband. Verse 19, and the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a what?
Prophet.
Now, we're not going to read this whole record, but this whole record continues, and many people from the town come out to see Jesus Christ because of this woman, and many people get turned on to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was this incident of Jesus Christ getting revelation in the conversation of him getting some water. And then what happened? Many people in the town got turned on because she was so excited, she went back to the town and she witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ in town. The power of God in operation. God can tell us things if we're walking with him, if we're listening, if we're tapped in. He wants his word to move. He wants to help us. Can God tell you before a car comes around the corner is going to hit you? Is there a prophet in that?
Yes.
Sure can. Can God tell you maybe if somebody's sick in the room and they need help in a different kind of way? Sure can. If we're listening, and if we're walking, and if there's profit behind it. Okay, now, let's look at another one. Let's look at, Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. See, we're just reading the Bible. That's all we're doing here. Mark 5. Oh, here's a good one. Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean what?
Spirit.
You guys know anybody that hangs out in graveyards? This guy hung out in graveyards. So look at this. He came out of the tombs. When he was... Okay, verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with what?
Chains.
He had super power. He had super spiritual power. Nobody could bind him. He had supernatural power, but of the wrong side. Verse 4, because that he had been bound often with fetters, shackles, and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters or the shackles broken in pieces, neither could any man what?
Tame
him. This guy was wild. He came out of the tombs and he had superpower. Verse 5. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with what?
Stones.
Reminds me of a few of the characters I've seen walking around in Jersey City at times. Anyway, so always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was a masochist. Sounds like a guy you wouldn't want to meet on the bus, right? Now, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me what? For he, Jesus Christ, said unto him, Come out of the what?
Man.
Thou unclean what?
Spirit.
Come out. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then he, Jesus Christ, asked him, "What's your name?" And the devil spirit answered him and said, and he answered him saying, "My name is Legion, for we are what?"
Many.
It's crowded in here. There's a lot of us in here. So we're not going to read this whole story, but look at verse 15. And it says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legion, sitting clothed and in his right," what?
Mind.
And they were what?
Afraid.
This guy had a big devil spirit. He had other devil spirits. He had superpower. He cut himself. He cried at night. He lived in the mountains. He lived in the tombs. He was out there. He was a wacko. And the Bible says the cause of it was spirit. Jesus Christ cast the spirit out. Or in this situation, you could read the whole thing here. It's a little involved story. But what happened was the spirits left. And this guy was in his right mind. The power of God. Jesus Christ had power. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. Do you guys think there's still spirits in the world?
Yeah.
Sure are. Mark chapter 5. Here's another good one. Mark 5. Mark 5. Verse 22. Who'd like to read a verse? Okay, who's that over there? Pete, stand up and read it loud, please.
Mark
5:22.
"And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet."
Okay, keep reading, Pete. Go ahead.
"And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live."
Okay, is this a pressure situation? My daughter is at the point of death. Come and heal her. That is a pressure situation. For those of us who have children, when your child is at the point of death, that is a pressure situation. When somebody was at my house not very long ago, three houses down, my neighbors lost their kid. That ugly house down there, Elise? They lost their kid, and they were screaming around the neighborhood. It was horrible. This man here had a problem. I don't know that he was screaming, but it was intense. His kid was about dying. "Come lay your hands on him and she may be healed. And she's going to live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather did what? Did she believe in doctors? Sure seems like it, didn't she? "And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be what? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Look at that. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue," he felt power had gone out of him. He had that feeling that power went out of him, had gone about of him and turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" It's like New York City in a parade or something. You get bumped by everybody. But what happened, he felt something leave his body. This woman got healed. "And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, your personality has made you what? Your money has made you whole. Your background has made you what? The people your connections. Daughter, thy what?
Faith.
Thy faith has made thee what?
Whole.
Hey, if you want to get healed, be good to believe, right? Be great to believe. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Verse 35. And while he yet spake, that's a good thing, right? This lady just got healed. But where was he going? This kid was dying, remember? And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, your daughter is what?
Dead.
Why troublest thou the master any what? Hey, when you're dead, you're dead. Hey, it's over. Don't trouble him anymore. Your kid is dead. Okay, the fact is the kid is what?
Dead.
His conclusion or response to the fact is, don't bother him anymore. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be not what?
Afraid.
Only what?
Believe.
Okay, the daughter died. The guy said, don't bother him any further, it's over. Jesus Christ looked right at him and he said, be not afraid, only believe. The fact was she died. One guy said, it's over. Jesus Christ said, be not afraid, only believe. For he to say, be not afraid, only believe, he had to have had what?
Revelation.
Because not every person that dies, God is going to tell somebody, this guy can get up right now or whenever. Okay? If you're tired, pinch yourself. Okay? Okay? Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. I was just involved with one of those very recently. And it's a real sad time, and some of you guys were there. And when he was come in, and saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but what?
Sleeping.
You don't make that statement unless you know it's available from God that this person's going to get up. And they laughed him to what?
Scorn.
Who are they laughing at? Some fulano in la calle? Who are they laughing at?
Jesus.
If you're laughing at Jesus Christ, that's not a good person to laugh at. They laughed at Jesus Christ, but when he put them out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, do what?
Arise.
And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great, what? He rose the girl from the dead. Now, we can raise people from the dead if God tells us that. Do we have the power?
Yeah.
It says in the Bible that we can do the works that Jesus Christ did. I know a girl that raised somebody from the dead. Jesus Christ did that, and the Bible says it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is that what it says? That's what it says, and that's what it means. Okay, now look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Did you know in the Bible, Jesus Christ ministered and healed at least 9 blind people? At least 9 blind people. And in John chapter 8, verse 3, it gives the record on how to minister healing to every blind person in every single situation. Because they're all the same, correct?
No.
No, they're not. You just have to walk with God. I don't know that we ever will minister to a blind person, but you know, we might. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9. And let me see here. Matthew 9 and verse 27. Who'd like to read a verse?
Jesus said unto
Okay, Lance, go ahead. Stand up, read a verse.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us.
Okay, keep going.
And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord.
Hey, that's a good question, right? Believing equals receiving in this situation. So look at this. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Not in every situation, maybe, but he asked it here. Do you believe? If you want to get healed, we got to get to the place where we believe. The person ministering has to believe, and the person who needs healing really needs to believe. Do you believe? And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your what? According to your believing, be it what? Unto you. Verse 30. And their eyes were what? And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man what?
Know it.
He said, do you believe I can do this? And they said, yes. Yea, Lord. And he said, according to your believing, be it unto you. And they were healed. What a fantastic thing. The problem is not with God. He's got the ability, doesn't he? The problem is with our brain sometimes, because we believe the doctors too much. We believe different things. We go right to the medicine cabinet when we have a headache instead of maybe going to a believer and asking to get ministered to. So we develop habits of, number one, going to the medicine instead of, number one, going to God, and number two, going to get prayed for. So it is available. You know, Jesus Christ walked the earth and he did all these things, and now it's God and Christ in us. Look at Matthew 17. You ever guys ever have any financial difficulties?
No.
Any financial situations? Okay. Look at Matthew 17. Ever had to pay some taxes? Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, the tax man, the tribute money, came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute or tax? And he saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus said unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou into the sea and cast a what? A hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of what?
Money.
That take and give it them for what?
Me indeed.
If you have financial problems tonight, just take your fishing pole and go to the Hudson River and pull out a fish. It may glow in the dark, but inside of that fish, I promise you, there will be some money and you can pay your taxes. Do you believe that?
No.
But you know what? That's pretty much what happened here, wasn't it? How did Jesus know to tell Peter, go over there, drop a hook in the sea over there, and pull out a fish with some money in it? It was luck. He hit the lotto. No, you know what it was? Revelation. God told him to do that. That was the right thing to do with that situation. And you know what? It worked. Now, different time. Now, say you have a business. Say you have some financial problems. Say you need money. Go to the money store. No, say you need money. Do you think that God provides?
Yes.
Maybe God could even tell us what to do so that we could get money. Say you're a salesman. Do you think that God could tell you where to go so you could get a sale? Say you own a business. Do you think God can tell you what product is a good thing to market or which one is a good thing to can? Or do you think it's God could tell you whether you should open that store in the mall or whether you shouldn't even go there because that mall has gone south? Do you think that God wants you to prosper?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that maybe if I work at a box factory, God could tell me not to use that stapling machine today because that staple's going to go right into my hand? My daughter's in the room. Do you think if I know she's going to get hurt, I won't warn her? If I don't warn her, and I'm really looking forward to her getting hurt, I suck. Okay? Right? Do you think that God would like to help us in life in a personal way? Well, then why not? Okay, well, that's some food to chew on there for a while. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 15. So then, we can operate the manifestations of the Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, you ought to learn to speak in tongues. It edifies you. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. You know, Jesus Christ's standard in life was a lot different than ours. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. Matthew 15. So Jesus Christ did these things. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. Who'd like to read this? Anybody? Okay, Carrie, stand up. Blast it away over there.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel.
That's bringing deliverance to God's people, isn't it? What a great way to live. Look at Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 5. The vastness and the power of God that Jesus Christ operated was phenomenal. Mark 6, verse 5. Mark 6, verse 5. Now let's compare this to what we just read. And he could, therefore, do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and what? Ah, he didn't do, no, hardly anything. Just, you know, a few sick folk, that's all. Just a few, that's all. No big deal. You know, if a few sick folk got healed tonight, boom, 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 we'd walk out of here thinking, oh, shit, this is, I'd never, you know what I'm talking about? Just, you know, not hardly anything, just a few sick folk, that's all. Look at how big the ministry of Jesus Christ is. And to close, John chapter 14. See, we got to not let the believing of the, you know, facts of the world condition us. Because God's word is true. One would think that God has a lot of power. If he put the stars in the sky, he's got power, right? All right, now, we read this last night, but look at this. We read all those verses, how Jesus Christ got revelation on different things and how he helped people with the revelation, how, you know, he also cast out spirits, how he healed people, did these wonderful things, miracles. Verse 12, now, here it is. Verily, verily, I, Jesus Christ, say unto you. How many of you believe Jesus Christ is a liar? Raise your hands. A liar? Caught one. There's only one person that believes he's a liar, and then she changed her mind. Okay, now, okay, verse 12, watch this, because this is what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believes on me, the works that I do, what? Was he lying then? And greater works than these shall he do, because what? Jesus Christ was talking about us. What a wonderful statement he made. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Take a 20-minute break. God bless. Bye-bye.
You guys all here, though.